Well, welcome. Thank you for joining with us today. Today's a special occasion as we celebrate the dedication service of Sage, and Carolyn Huster will be joining us along with Faith. And in a few minutes, you'll see that important time where we recognize the gift of life, the gift of God's goodness, God's blessing to children, and we dedicate them back to God. But it got me thinking this week about the time when we were young parents and we didn't have a clue what we were doing. No, seriously, we didn't. We were very pleased if in the first 8 weeks we both managed to get dressed before midday. It was an achievement. We were here in England, all our family, all our support network, all the people that we relied on were in a different country, and it wasn't quite so easy. No mobile phones so much in those days. We had a pay phone with a pay card that you had to put in a slot in the phone. So we remember those days with fondness now, not so much with the sleepless nights now that some of you are currently experiencing. I remember thinking, we have no idea what we're doing. And the concern that comes with that, yes, at times it was funny, but at other times it was a real concern. And that's been part of our series that we're looking at. There's more to life than anxiety, and certainly one of those areas of anxiety does concern our children. It concerns other members of the family. It concerns those who are closest to us. So we want to talk a little bit today about how we leave our concerns with God. This is what the Bible says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you haven't looked at the other messages in the series, this is part three of our series we're doing. There's more to life than anxiety, so look at the other couple of parts. But Paul comes here and says, you know, in the midst of your concerns, you can experience the peace of God. In fact, it passes all understanding. And for those of you kids who like Roman history, I love Roman history. I love thinking about Roman military. They were ruthless, but they were very organized and very disciplined. And if you've seen the garrisons, if you've seen them on the march, then you will understand that Paul is picking up this idea and saying, when he says the peace of God will guard your heart, it's a military term. It means like a camp would be guarded, or a castle, or a garrison surrounding the city. It's used in three places in the New Testament: 2 Corinthians 11, 32, where with a garrison included for the words kept; Galatians 3, 23, where we have the idea of a strong room or protected custody; and 1 Peter 1, 5, where it's preserved as in a fortress. Philippi was a Roman colony, so they were very familiar with Rome, Roman ways, and they would have been familiar with the defensive power of a Roman garrison. And Paul's coming and saying, actually, whatever troubles may come to us on the outside, we can know God's peace. And that may seem a challenge when we look at bringing children into the world, as we look at raising children, or we're involved with other members of family. How do we leave those concerns or others that we might have with God in the middle of all? How can we let God's peace guard our hearts when, frankly, things are so uncertain? How do we allow God's peace to protect us when we have worries about education, their kids' jobs prospects, finances, our own or theirs, or the situation with health? All of these things can easily just eat away at us and leave us feeling that we're at the end of the rope. But I think there's one Bible story that can really help us that many of you children will also be very familiar with. It's the story of Joseph. Joseph, as we know, was the favorite son, which made him very unpopular with his other brothers. I know how he feels. I am the youngest of seven, and I was constantly harassed by my older brothers and sisters saying to me, you're the favorite, you have it easier, You don't have to do what we done. You're the baby. You're So I can understand a little bit of how Joseph may have grown up. He was unwise in some of what he shared, saying that his brothers would one day bow down to him. And he had this coat that his father gave him and had made specially that would have been extremely costly. And he paraded it around. So he wasn't very wise in what he'd done. But maybe for you, with siblings growing up, or children even now, you may have heard it in your home. It's not fair. He or she gets to stay up later, watch that television program, go longer on electronic devices, etc., etc. You get the picture. The life that sometimes doesn't seem fair. In fact, it was worse than that for Joseph. His brothers wanted to kill him, but one of them, who was sympathetic, Reuben, managed to persuade them to sell him into slavery. You think that's bad enough? Well, when he got to Egypt, he was falsely accused of assaulting his master's wife after having been sold into slavery. He came from a wealthy family, he came from a good set of circumstances, and suddenly his life is falling apart because of his own family and brothers. He's into slavery. He's falsely accused of assault, even though he had done nothing wrong. He's thrown into prison, where he didn't want to be. The warden trusts him, and he starts to interpret some dreams for people, and they get released. One of them gets released, the baker, cupbearer gets released, but then forgets completely about Joseph. And the Bible makes an astonishing statement. Genesis 39:21. It says in the midst of it that the Lord was with Joseph. I don't know about you. I find that strange. If God was with Joseph, then surely he would have kept all this from happening in the first place. Then he wouldn't have had all those concerns. If God was with Joseph, then surely he would have been at home with his dad while his conspiring brothers were in prison, not him. For us, the story seems wrong at so many levels. We're not happy with it, and we understand why he would have had many concerns. But Joseph's story wasn't over, and my encouragement to you today is neither is yours. Whatever concerns you're facing, you can know God's peace in the middle of it while it's still unresolved. Whatever you're battling with right now, whatever you're going through, you can get through because your story isn't over. It's still being written. See, if we're familiar with the Bible, then we'll probably know that story quite well. We know how it turns out that we'll share in a minute. But Joseph didn't. He was in the middle of it. He had to endure. He had to persevere. He had to find God in the middle of it. And I have a message to Carol and Husta. In a moment, we'll rightly ask and pray for God's help. We've rightly come with thanksgiving to God for sage as we dedicate him. But there's a message for all of us who have concerns, because we want to see our family thrive. Today you will make a wise decision to place your concerns and your story in God's hands, placing your family in God's hands. Carol and Husta, you have to do that. We'll do that together. We'll stand with you and encourage you and support you in that. But the good news is, in the midst of all your concerns, in the midst of all that's uncertain, even about Sage's life, your story isn't over. Sage's story isn't over. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, about his confidence in the unfinished story, because he says that God, who begun the good work in us, would bring it to completion. God, who begun a good work in us, would bring it to completion. What you're experiencing now, if it is worries and anxieties, if it's ordeals, one day will be a story to tell. One day you may be able to laugh about it. One day you might be able to share it in a way that shows you've come through that ordeal. It will be like it's in the rear view mirror of your life. I was given a rear view mirror when I first came to New Life Church. A guest preacher gave it to me, and he said it would be helpful in reminding me about some things. And so we can have a story to tell as we look in the rearview mirror. As we look back, as we think about the unfinished story, I want to ask you a question. Does the story you want to tell, is it going to be one full of anxiety, full of isolation, full of one where you don't trust people or you don't trust God? Is it even going to be a cynical view of life or a bitter view of life? Or can you have a different viewpoint? Because you still have the opportunity to rewrite your story. You have an opportunity to do something with your life. You can do something like Joseph, who despite the crises, despite the ordeals, despite the concerns, was able to conclude when he was finally reconciled with his brothers. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. A pivotal statement of someone who understood God's sovereignty and plans and purposes in his life. He said this: "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good." I want to encourage you today that your story isn't over. You can look back with a story to tell of God's goodness, of God's sovereignty, of God's plan. As you dedicate your life to Him, as you allow His peace to garrison and guard and protect and be a fortress to your heart. Bring all that you are to God. Bring your family. Bring all that you have and surrender to Him. Let's pray. Father, we realize that we may be in a place where we're concerned or worried or anxious because there's so many things that are uncertain about our future and our family's future. We pray that you'd help us to come to you, to pray, to ask for your help, and to know that we can experience your peace that guards our heart in a way that doesn't make any sense. So as we surrender to you, as we surrender to your sovereignty, to your plan and your purpose, come in by your Holy Spirit and bring your peace in the name of Jesus. Amen.